This is awesome.
Oh, fuck. Hey. Good to see you among the living, man. Check it out. It's the latest talent mix.
Thanks, Pete.
Zach, I wasn't that excited about going back to Smallville, but then, oh, baby, oh, the mood, it hit me. Somebody save me. We're back, baby. We are so back. Sorry, go ahead.
You have to say the customary greeting to everyone first before we can...
Good to see you all among the living. Hello, everybody, yes, and welcome to the Talent Mix Smallville Recap Podcast.
Batman's not Batman anymore.
Batman's Smallville in the rear time. View. We're back Somebody on Smallville. Save season us. Six. Five seasons to go. I think we've made it farther than anyone thought we would.
Yes, certainly your wife.
My wife, most people on the air, myself a lot of times. So I was hitting a season 5 point of I don't want to do this anymore.
You know what's funny? Because of the writer's strike in season 7, we're more than halfway done.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Yep.
Very correct. Yep. I do have an intense need to finish this. I do want to. We've talked about, like, I think if this was anything else, we'd abandon it and do something else instead. But it's like, we gotta do it.
We do for several reasons. One of which is you've never seen the last three seasons of the show, which is my favorite when it starts to get fun again. And correct. I want to see, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I remembered it wrong. We'll see. But I'm excited for you to come in just fresh on a lot of these. Because this is the last season that you saw the full season of.
Yes, I think I gave up the next season when it got kind of rough. And then I saw the finale.
Me too. I also gave up in season 7, but then came back in season 8 when it was rejuvenated. So this is going to be interesting. This is a heavy Lana Lex season, which we get a big dose of right off the bat.
So I want to start with a burst of positivity to let you know I'm excited to be here. I'm excited we're back in it. Oh God, this episode sucked. I did not like it. Like a good to be back episode.
This is one of the things that I don't miss from old TV is the season premiere episode.
It should be a bigger deal. It should be better than it is, right?
Almost all season premieres are a disappointment if it comes after a cliffhanger. It's almost always a disappointment.
I think you're right, and I think I'm just realizing that now at 35 years old, how many season premieres open with an all right.
Right.
Well, because we'll get back in there.
It's usually backtracking to get us back to status quo.
Right. That's another thing that I think is interesting with TV is I think there's this incorrect perception that TV moves and is supposed to move and change and kind of we're supposed to be on a hero's journey with the character. It's no, there's a status quo. And we're always kind of getting there. And maybe that status quo changes a little bit, especially when a cast member moves. But we're ultimately, the friends are going to be friends probably. And they're going to be at their apartment.
Right.
Smallville's not that different.
Smallville exists somewhere in between your friend's sitcom and a Lost style serialized show. Somewhere between the two. It's a lot closer to the Friends thing, though, than it is the Lost thing.
Yes.
As far as we're moving
Lost,
the ball. Yeah, go ahead.
Even Lost, they'd find a base camp that season and spin around that area for a good long while.
Good chunk. Yes. But I was thinking about season premieres that didn't suck. And I remember Lost had a few really good ones because, you know, they're always ending on a cliffhanger, right? So
right, man, if this was a Lost show, we'd be almost done. That's another one I've never properly seen the end of. I have not seen the whole show. I watched, I think I made it 4 Ernest seasons. How many did that go? 5? 5, 6?
It went 6, but the last couple were shorter.
Oh, we'd be done. We'd be done.
I'm a big defender of the Lost finale.
I think I'd vibe with it. It's people, yeah, I think come around to finales.
I think you would too. I think you would. Your reaction would be mine, which would be shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
What are you, an asshole? Don't be an asshole.
I think people are usually, I don't know what this phenomenon is, but The Sopranos, I think, is widely considered one of the greatest finales of all time. I remember people being pissed.
Oh, people were irate. They thought their TVs were broken.
Yeah. And it's like, no, it's kind of widely considered now, many, many decades later, as like a perfect ending of television.
Yeah.
It could, like, kind of couldn't have ended any other way. And yeah, I don't know what that is. People haven't come around to How I Met Your Mother yet, probably because the whole show isn't very good. All right. Zach, this week we watched Zod. It's the first episode of the 6th season of Smallville. It's the 111th episode overall. It aired September 28th, 2006. Fun fact, this is the first episode once the WB converted to the CW.
Also,
this is the first CW episode.
Ooh, also the first episode that aired while we were at film school together.
Wow.
This is our film school year, Brian. This is our film school season.
Okay, so yeah, this is the year I'm watching season 5 on DVD.
Yes.
I would say,
I'm pretty sure I started catching up maybe a month or two into this season is when I was like, you know what, I should catch up on Smallville, because I caught it in the middle of the night on one of those Canadian TV channels.
Yeah.
I caught like an episode of season 4 or whatever. And I was like, yeah. Then I had, you know, my mom send me up my DVD of season 1. I watched that. And then I just started ordering the DVDs until I caught up.
So then I would hand them off to you.
Yeah.
Yep. Funny. So I didn't know that was the order. I thought you just brought your Smallville DVDs up to Vancouver.
No, I had season 1 from years before. The first time I was like, oh, I need to catch up on this show. And then I fell off in season 3, which we've talked about. And so, yeah, throughout the run of this show, I would leave and come back.
Sure.
It always got me back.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, I guess let's get into the recap. I'm, of course, reading directly. Oh, it feels good to say again. I am reading directly from smallville.fandom.com. Once again, I wish this episode was much better.
You know what? I was going to say, we did a lot of Batman episodes, so listeners might be kind of lost and not remember what the last episode was.
Oh, you're right. I don't either.
If that's the case when you're going into this episode, it's okay, because we're still in the era of TV where they will tell you everything that happened in the last season finale in this episode.
This episode is more, hey, remember what happened a couple of months ago?
Yeah.
Than like, I did not remember a damn thing that happened in the season 5 finale. Was not lost watching this episode. Well,
not only do they give you the like little previously on Smallville, but they also in the whole episode is them going, hey, this is what happened last time, remember, don't forget.
Yep.
In case you've just walked in, this is what happened last time, we're catching you up.
Yeah. A very quick aside here. It's kind of the same thing. It's still happening in wrestling. WrestleMania this year was really big because The Rock was involved. So a lot of on like the wrestling forums that I'm so dweebishly involved in. people are new and kind of like, hey, I watched WrestleMania. I'd like to watch the show. What do I need to see to catch up? And people give these like long lists of like, you need to watch this. You need to watch this. You need to watch. If you put on a wrestling show and you are confused, I worry about your ability to tie your own shoes. They will tell you everything.
You know, growing up, I knew some people who were into wrestling, and I always thought it was so lame. But I'm
still. It is. That instinct is correct.
I do have an appreciation for a person who found wrestling as an adult.
Yeah.
And follows it. For whatever reason, that doesn't seem lame to me. That's like fun. I don't know why. That's fun.
It's I think be sleep deprived, have a kid.
Yeah.
There's the magic sauce. You're like, I get it.
We need some like quick short sound bite that is like anytime you talk about wrestling, like wrestling corner with Brian.
It'll go away. I'll stop hyperfixating on it.
No, I love it. No, I'm pro.
I love the JBL. By God, wrestling people get that. But all right. So in the Phantom Zone, it's Brian, so relevant to everything is the problem. Wrestling distills everything.
What if I started not watching wrestling but playing that wrestling video game? Would that get
Which
me anywhere
video
with
game?
You?
Like WWE 2K24?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, the game. Yeah.
I think it's a good fun one. It's good. It's fun.
I was never into wrestling, but I used to fucking love the old N64. It was like WCW versus WWF, and then it was WWE or whatever.
Yeah.
Those games were so much fucking fun. And it's the same thing, but better graphics now, right? I mean, it's basically the same idea.
Yes, they got a little more like the developer 2K who does all like the foot. It got a little more simulation-y, which is kind of lame, right, rather than just arcadey. But they're still stupid. So anyway, you have almost an entire year to worry about this. But in about a year, I'm going to make you watch the Royal Rumble, which is the good WrestleMania is the biggest one. Royal Rumble's the best one.
Okay.
And maybe we'll talk about it on a podcast.
Patreon.
There you go. All right. So in the Phantom Zone, a Kryptonian prison created by Jor-El, Clark has no powers and is vulnerable to revenge-seeking criminals sent there by his father. He meets Rhea, a Kryptonian who was his father's assistant. We're getting a little, this information is sparsed out over a handful of scenes here, but basically we see Clark where we left him.
I have a question.
Yes.
You would probably know better than me. Is this the first time that anyone's visualized the inside of the Phantom Zone?
I cannot speak to comics. Certainly in this sort of medium.
Yeah, certainly. I don't think Man of Steel showed the inside of it, did it?
No.
It was like a ship. Was the Phantom Zone or some
it was shit. It was like a mirror, and then I do think it was supposed to be like a dimensional pocket. Man of Steel, God, I was thinking of
you're right. In Superman the movie it's that mirror thing, but right. what do they do in Man of Steel?
Man of Steel, I thought that ship was getting sent into the Phantom Zone.
Okay, yeah, okay. I kind of like how they visualize it here, you know. It's he falls down that little slide into a desert wasteland that's in British Columbia somewhere with a bunch of filters on it.
Right. It kind of makes sense as a like free for all spot. But yeah, I don't know if a comic has ever like visualized. This was the first time I had ever seen the interior of the Phantom Zone.
It's basically like Escape from New York. Like all the prisoners are just running. It's Australia, right?
Right. It's galactic Australia.
What if they come back to the Phantom Zone in like 100 years and it's like a normal civilization like Australia?
Right.
Like they've got their shit together. Everything's fine.
With like terrible ghosts.
Stop sending us your trash, eh?
So Rhea explains that Jor-El founded the Phantom Zone as a prison for Kryptonians, as well as intergalactic criminals from the 28 known galaxies. Most of them lose their corporeal bodies and become phantoms. The CGI on the phantoms is rough.
And as a reminder, this CGI was bad at the time, too. This was at a time where the CGI on TV was nowhere near what was in movies, and we all knew it. And so when you saw a shitty effect, you were like, it's TV, it's whatever. I'm not
There's a comparison that I like of, like, in the 60s, when you saw a man in a gorilla costume on TV, and they're like, the escaped, on like Gilligan's Island, right? And right. The escaped gorilla. And it's not that people thought that's a real gorilla. It's no. Just, what else are you going to do? You know?
It was a suggestion of...
Yes,
of,
your imagination just has idea. To fill in the gaps.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And that is still the case here. I find myself more charmed by the early bad effects than I do here. I think this is almost, it's like an uncanny sort of, like, it's almost good. But
yeah,
it's
the closer we
not.
Get, yeah, the closer we get to good effects is the less forgiving you are, right?
Right, right. And I'm sure we'll feel this way about, like, The Mandalorian. You and I have gripes about that now, but
already, yeah.
I think culturally, that show will look bad too. The criminals, they shed their corporeal bodies, they become phantoms. But as Krypton was being destroyed, Jor-El put her in the Phantom Zone for her own survival. You have to go to Galactic Rikers.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck. Also, everyone who hates my guts is there.
And you are my well-known assistant.
This is better than exploding, probably.
Prisoners are chill, right?
Right. Anyway, enjoy your eternal hell damnation. It's better than exploding. Is it? Hey, Jor-El, is it?
Oh, goodness.
You notice Jor-El didn't put his baby in there.
No, he also didn't send himself or his wife. He just blew up. He was just like, I'll just blow up. Rather than fucking go to that place.
Laura L., like, should I go into the fit? No, no, no. Oh, God, no. Everyone there hates my guts.
No, you don't want to go there. No, no. That's fucking miserable.
No, no, no. We're
Raya, yeah. Go ahead, Raya. Yeah, you'll be good. It'll be great. Did you get the vibe that Raya and Jor-El were boning, as I did?
I did not, but I can see it now.
At first, I didn't realize she was his assistant, and I was like, "What is this lady who's like super close to him? You know, he sent her to be safe. He's real concerned.
It's a real kitty from Arrested Development vibes."
Right? Why do you have this, you know, hot younger assistant, Jor-El? Huh? What's going on here?
Hey, Jor-El, you got some splitting to do, Terrence Stamp.
Terrence Stamp / Tom Welling / whatever other actors we get to play you in the future.
So Raya says a stone Jor-El gave her is her only weapon against the phantoms. The stone also has the
stone. I was going to say, looks like she got it at Hot Topic. Just a little, like, trinket.
She probably did. Clark tells her that Zod has returned to Earth, but she doubts that Clark can stop him. She also explains to Clark that there is an exit out of the Phantom Zone, a gateway designed by Jor-El in case anyone in his family were imprisoned there. Did they do crimes, Jor-El? Also, hey, Raya, I'm going to put you into the fucking Phantom Zone. Cool. Can I use the secret exit you've used for your family? No!
There's some real Hunter Biden vibes here with Jor-El. This is real.
Jesus Christ. So Lionel rescues Chloe from an angry mob, and they seek safety in the Luther Court building. The paragraph we had just read is dispersed over a handful of scenes. You know what? I've tried to write my own summaries. I'm done criticizing the wiki. I think for the next 5 seasons, we're going to be a lot more generous to the wiki. I've tried writing my own summaries. I'm like, but nothing happened in that scene. I'll just throw it somewhere else. Like, what? I can't.
Look, we're still going to give the wiki shit.
Ultimately, yeah.
But yes, it's really difficult, especially when it's just all superhero nonsense gibberish.
It's so much superhero nonsense gibberish. Okay, so Lionel rescues Chloe from an angry mob. They seek safety in the Luther Corp building, only to discover that Zod slash Lex has kidnapped Lana and flown away. I had completely forgotten that Lex had been possessed by Zod until Lex turns to Cameron and is like, I'm bad now.
I was possessed by Zod, remember?
Yeah, remember? And I'm like, no, but I believe you. They try to decide how to stop Lex Azad. Lionel knows that Jor-El gave Clark a dagger and says he will go back to the Kent farm to retrieve it. Chloe is surprised that Lionel will resort to killing Lex and suggests that they try to read the Kryptonian symbols. Oh my god, this scene is so fucking long. But Lionel knows that Clark is the only one who can read them. He says the connection he felt with the fortress is gone because we'd like him to not have it anymore.
Yes, we want to get back to status quo. Also, this is what I'm talking about. This, it was the entire, there were like three scenes about this exact same dilemma with Lionel in the finale, where it's like, you have to kill X. Oh no, can you do that? And now we're just like, remember, this is his dilemma, let's do it again. Go again.
The connection he's felt with the fortress is gone. He gives her a gun and tells her to take care of it. Leaves for the Kent farm. Granted, I know like riots are happening, but Chloe's like, I can't go to Smallville with my leg. And, like, you think very rich Lionel Luther can't figure something out there? Just, I can't go with my leg. And then we ask no further questions.
Well, like, yeah, here's my question. Were they going to walk there? Was that the plan?
Apparently you just can now.
Because unless you're going to walk there, your leg will be fine in the car.
I think it'll be fine in the car or the helicopter or the...
Right.
I think it'll be all right. Are you just going to camp out in this building? Because I think you just have to get out of the building. Like, I know there are like riots happening, I guess, but a car seems as good a place as any.
If Lionel can get there, you can go with him.
If Lionel can get there, you can get there. He's an old ass man.
Yeah.
Chloe goes back to the Daily Planet to try and decipher the symbols. At the planet, Chloe is shocked to run into Jimmy Olsen, with whom she had a summer romance while in high school. He is now a photographer at the planet.
Ashmore 2.
Ashmore looks an awful lot like a villain we had previously.
Well, that was his brother, right? This is Aaron Ashmore. That was Sean Ashmore.
Well, right. This is the twin. In the show, they are not brothers.
Right, yes. Yeah, no
this
one
is ever acknowledged.
No.
Which one was in X-Men? I do not know which one is which.
I think the one that was in there first was an X-Men.
Got it. Interesting. They do, in fact, look identical. Like, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen do not look identical. You can tell them apart. These guys, I don't know who is it.
Well, I will guide you. I mean, they could have switched him out halfway through the run and I wouldn't have noticed, I'm sure. I'm like, yep, perfect.
Okay. Oh my god.
Okay, wait, let's Jimmy. How do you feel about Jimmy? The real Jimmy Olsen, definitely the real Jimmy Olsen.
Oh god, I don't like where that's going. I don't like the things you just said. Smallville, what did Zach just imply to me? Zach, the shit you just said to me, I'm taking my microphone from my stand here because that's how fucking... What did what you just say to me mean? Why did you say it like that?
I thought you knew
what I
was
hinting at. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. If I did know at one point, I have forgotten it fully and completely.
So what we're going to do is not explain to you what I was talking about, because it's going to be way more fun. It's going to be so much more fun for you to find out on your own.
Yeah, but now I'm existing in this plane of like, why would they do what you're about to say? Why would... So there's a...
Just forget it. Memory wipe. All right. You didn't hear me say that.
Memory...
I wasn't joking. I wasn't being sarcastic. This is the real Jimmy Olsen.
Right. Of course. Of course. Of course. Well, I guess listeners will have to follow on this journey with me.
I'm assuming most of the people listening to the show have seen Smallville at this point.
I think that's incorrect. But also, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, what you have to do is go to this episode on YouTube, where you can directly comment on an episode. You have to go, have you seen Smallville?
Yes.
Have you seen the television show Smallville? So Zod keeps Lana captive and drags her to just what is hyperlinked as the Black Ship. She realizes that Lex has taken over and watches as Zod touches the ship and makes it disappear. He tells her that he intends for her to bear him an heir, and begins his plans to turn Earth into a Krypton-like planet using the alien ship's hard drive. Is that what Zod wanted to do in Superman 2? It's what he wanted to do in Man of Steel.
Wait, impregnate Lana?
No, I mean turn Earth into Krypton.
Oh.
I don't remember Zod's like.
He just wanted to rule and, right?
Yeah, right. Superman, American flag, got it.
This predates Man of Steel by several years. So if anyone's stealing from anyone.
It turned into a lot of. Doctor Who had a lot of bad guys who were like, we're going to turn this planet into our planet. And it got kind of tired.
I think I'm going to, if I ever get married or am with someone and we want to have kids, the way I'm going to bring it up is like, I'm going to make a nice dinner, candlelight. I want you to bear me an heir.
That's exactly how I did it. That's exactly how I did it.
Bear me an heir. Heir to what?
Yeah, right. An heir to crippling debt.
Yeah.
By the time my child is an adult, credit card companies will find a way to make my problems her problems. I think there was a joke I read online of how, if reincarnation could be confirmed, how long before they would make sure your debt follows you into other lives.
Right away.
Right. That'd be away. The first thing they figure out.
Yeah.
It's fucked up, man.
This rock owes me
$200,000. I gotta say, at least Zod is up front with his evil intentions rather than Lex's weird stealth campaign of Lana from like high school.
I haven't listened to Talkville in a while. I wonder if Rosenbaum's still in denial about the creepiness, because they're in the middle of season 4 when he starts really getting creepy.
It's pretty creepy, big guy. You could make that argument if it doesn't go where it did, but like...
Right. Oh, no. 4 is where it's very clear what's happening.
You don't get to be like, no. Sorry, my microphone came unplugged slightly. No one gets to pull, I wasn't attracted to her until the day she turned 18.
Right. Especially not if you marry her at 19. Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert.
Michael, it's creepy. It's creepy. And at least Zod is like you. At least Zod hasn't seen her till she was an adult woman. Okay, he tells her he intends for her to bear him an heir, and begins to plan to turn Earth into a Krypton-like planet using the alien ship's hard drive. Lana tries to stop Lex/Zod, and he keeps her in place by pinning her hand against the wall with a knife.
So, Lana's hand should be fucked up for the remainder of this show.
That's a real fucking injury.
Yeah, not just this episode, not just this season. It's like an inch and a half in diameter. This thing goes through the middle of her palm.
Mm-hmm.
All mm-hmm. the nerves, all the bones are crushed. She can't use that hand for a while. I mean, this is a long-term injury, Brian.
Zach, that happens to me. I'm not doing this podcast for like 6 weeks. Hey, Zach, can't talk about Smallville. I got stabbed in the hand.
Right. I can't move my hand. There's a huge hole in it. It's not like a knife, which would still be terrible. It's not like a little needle. It is
right.
I'm not kidding. It's an inch in diameter. It's a huge, it's like a broomstick. It's like the diameter of a broomstick through the middle of her palm.
It's I had a boss once. He was a producer on a show I worked on, and came into work one day, his hands all wrapped up. He was like full mummy man. He just the dumbest like mistake anyone could make. He was cleaning a knife in the sink. He dropped it and then instinctively went to grab it. His sink, and so like grabbed the blade, and so that's not through the hand, just some deep cuts in the hand from where he like grabbed it, fucked him up for a while.
Like, there's muscles and nerves and bones and shit that are important. Maybe Lex just got her a bionic hand that we never knew about.
That's it. That must
He's
be
rich.
It. We just missed that part. So.
Yeah.
So Lana tries, we get pinned to the wall with a knife. He leaves to infiltrate the Pentagon. I believe the line he says is, "I'm going to infiltrate your Pentagon." It's amazing he knows exactly what that is. And like, not just like, "Your leader, I know the Pentagon."
I mean, he probably got whatever information the writers need him to have from Lex's brain when he took him over, but he doesn't know the things that they don't want him to know, right. Obviously.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. So at the Pentagon, he plans to control Earth's satellites. When he leaves, Lana is able to pull the knife out and free herself and then scream and die. Not die, but like have
out.
A real bad
yeah.
time. I mean, eventually that could there's shit in there. That could take you out.
Oh, no. I would pass out from that probably when it happened. I don't know.
When it happened.
Like, ow,
I'm really
that
easy
hurt.
To take out.
Yeah.
It's Emily and I play a game whenever we watch an action movie. And the game is called I'm Done. And
oh,
it's
yeah,
usually
that's
a
great.
First act incident that's like, I'm done.
Yeah. Oh, the first punch. It's like, I'm out. Yeah. Ow. That hurts. I'm tall. I hit my head a lot, and it's not even that hard. And I'm like, I'm done. No,
yeah,
fuck
right.
That.
Just no more. There's a joke on the How Did This Get Made podcast about the movie Furious 7. Paul Walker's character, a bus is falling off a cliff. Paul Walker pulls himself up to the roof of the bus, sprints across the roof of the bus, grabbing onto the spoiler of a car, and then is pulled off the cliff. And the most unrealistic thing about that is the fact that Paul Walker does not spend the rest of the movie telling anyone who will listen, "And then I ran up the thing in the bus."
Did you see that shit?
Did you fucking
Did you see that
shit?
Absolutely. Yeah. No big deal.
So okay, when he leaves, Lana's able to free herself. Lois and Martha's plane crashes near the Fortress of Solitude. Martha drags an unconscious Lois to the fortress and has her first and only conversation with Jor-El. She accuses him of crashing their plane, but he explains that she was in fact taken by Milton Fine and he saved them. He tells her that Clark is banished forever by Zod.
This whole scene, Brian, is just okay. Let all the exposition we need. Let's just have Jor-El. How'd you get here? I brought you here. Don't worry about it. How'd you do that? Shut the fuck up. It doesn't matter. I brought you.
Magic,
I brought you here.
About.
Yeah. What? Why did the knife freeze on? Oh, because a bunch of shit happened. It doesn't really matter. Don't worry. It's
sometimes you can hear the writers' room going, I don't know. I kind of thought I'd think of it over the summer.
Yeah. The premiere stuff is often a lot of, because Jor-El said so.
Right. It's
Jor-El did it. It's the fortress. It's connected. Don't worry about it. Just shut up.
I've made this comparison before, but sometimes it feels a lot like playing in a Dungeons and Dragons campaign of like, hey, how did the knife work? I don't fucking know. Do you want to play or not? Like,
yeah, it was magic.
Yeah. So he tells Martha about the dagger he gave to Clark and how Zod must be stopped and killed in order to save the world. He thanks Martha for being such a good mother for his son and transports them back to Smallville. Wow, got it way easier than Johnny K did.
Yeah. I'm going to have to kill you later, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah, right. Oh, also, if my son has shown any affection to you, heart attack coming.
I'm going to string you along for like a couple years, though.
Oh, I'll tell you it's going to happen. What's worse, having it come by surprise or just...
I wish they wrote the scene like Jor-El. She's like, why did this happen? Jor-El's like, here's what you need to do. Take the fucking dagger and go kill Lex, all right? Do you want to have answers or do you want to know the way to solve the problem? All right, just
knife.
Go.
Knife. Lex's heart.
Go kill
him. Okay. Come on.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'll tell you after.
Yeah, come back after. We'll have a long chat.
The whole fucking thing. It'll be so boring. Won't make it to air.
By the way, Martha, I really appreciate the way you raised my son. I'll see you later. Bye.
See you later. Yeah, anyway, knife, dagger.
That's how the scene ends. He's like, hey, by the way, you've done a great job, Mama Kay. I know I killed your husband, but you've done a really good job.
I super did it.
I thought he would be back by sundown. I didn't think I would have to do this.
Defense, I was really mad.
Sometimes you bluff with your kids and they call your bluff and you have to follow through with a punishment you didn't want to.
I didn't want to kill his dad. I just had to kill his dad. Come on.
By the way, but great job. Great job, Martha. We really appreciate
you. You're doing
great. Here at the Fortress, we love what you're doing. We love the work you're doing.
We talk about it all the time.
When I say we, I don't mean me, Jor-El. I mean me, the computer that represents Jor-El's brain. And there's also one that represents my wife and a bunch of other ones hidden in here. We always talk. So.
There was also just like the guy from Superman 2. He's here. He's not going to make the show. You remember just the guy from Superman 2? He's here. He's played by some guy from Vancouver Central Casting.
He's here making the cellophane things that Superman throws out of his chest.
It's like, that's going to come up. It's going to, I swear to God, we got 5 seasons of the show left. It's going to show up. I promise. Lionel shows up at the Kent farm and Martha explains what she must do. Lana also arrives looking for Clark, and having realized now why Clark was talking about killing Lex, she reasons that she is the only person that would get close enough to use the dagger and offers to kill Lex. She takes the dagger.
People are just like climbing all over each other to kill Lex. Like, this dagger's a fucking iPhone.
I'll do it.
I want to kill Lex.
To be fair, if Mark Zuckerberg was possessed by an evil alien, I think there'd be a whole big line.
They'd be like, I'll do it. Yeah.
I'll do it. If I have to do it, I'll do it.
Is Elon Musk evil too?
Yeah. So we just get them all in a room? Okay, she takes the dagger back to the Luther mansion where Zod is waiting. She tells him that she has agreed to bear his heirs, and they start kissing.
Gross.
That's how heirs happen, is by kissing.
That's how it starts, Brian.
Thinking he is distracted, maybe one day I'll find out. Thinking he is distracted.
Is that how you and your wife created your child, by kissing?
I'll tell you when I know how it happens. So she tells him that thinking he is distracted, she tries to stab him, but he's too quick and shatters the knife. Angry, he uses the hard drive to activate a satellite, which starts an earthquake. He then chokes Lana until she passes out.
Not quite a concussion. That's a choking.
Not quite a concussion. We'll get a couple things on the board here.
We got one good one coming up.
Yes. So Clark and Rhea make it to the gateway, and Rhea explains that only a member of the House of El can open a gate. Jor-El, that's fucked up.
It's coming in handy now, but that doesn't make it any less right.
He didn't have time to add her credentials to the gate pass.
he's like, I'm sending you to the Phantom Zone. Don't worry, I'll change that coding and you'll be able to leave. I promise. Okay. Okay. Well, I'll see you later.
I promise.
Oh, fuck.
I forgot to do shit.
Yes.
Real mad at me.
Collapsing. Yeah. The world is imploding.
Right.
Shit.
I did forget to do that. However, they encounter two prisoners, Aether and Nam-Ek. These are the two we met previously in the television show. Rhea, Nam-Ek. I don't think I recognized him before. He's in a lot of genre stuff, and I don't, oh God, I wish
a lot of Vancouver genre stuff.
A lot probably. Of Vancouver genre stuff.
Like Stargate.
Nothing is
probably.
Coming to mind, but I've seen that motherfucker a handful of times. Clark and Rhea make only a House of El can open the gate. However, they encounter two prisoners, Aether and Nam-Ek. Rhea pretends that she is using Clark to escape, and they start to fight. Rhea is able to stab Nam-Ek, but Aether retaliates, stabbing Rhea. She gives Clark her crystal and urges him to escape. He has no choice but to leave her. Once again, we get... Earth is really important to some of these characters because we live here, not because of.
Right.
It's for Ray and Nobbit, like, yeah, planets blow up sometimes. It sucks.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Okay, so Clark runs to the portal, placing his bleeding hand on it, pushing him and the other prisoners through. Seven meteor-like objects fall from the sky out of the Phantom Zone, one of them being Clark. He arrives at his farm just in time to save Lionel and Martha from being crushed by a collapsing barn. Lionel and Martha tell him that Lana took the dagger, so he goes to the mansion to confront Zod.
No, I want to do it, he says. I want to kill him.
My turn. Let me in there. I deserve this. Before Zod can choke Lana to death, Clark arrives. He blasts the hard drive with his heat vision, which deactivates the satellite and stops the earthquake. They fight, and Zod picks up Clark and flies out the window with him. They land in a field of battle. Zod gains the upper hand and commands Clark to kneel before him.
I appreciate that every other Kryptonian immediately knows how to fly when they get here, and Clark still hasn't fucking figured it out.
Clark's like, hey!
I want to fly.
He's been afraid of heights in season one.
I want to fly.
He doesn't want to fly because he mentioned he's afraid of heights in season one.
You know what, Brian? He can't stand to fly. He's not that naive.
I don't know the next lyric from that song, but it was good. It was good. I liked it. I would have done that whole thing if I knew the next lyric. I thought it would come to me, and it still hasn't. Okay.
Men want men to ride? Men
want
I can't stand to fly. All right, I think I'm crashing my internet trying to look it up. We're not going to know. We're just going to not.
We're not going to know. We'll just never know, because we'll never hear that song again. How do I explain to my daughter who will never know? I feel like she needs to know as an adult. This will never come up naturally for her. That song, she will never encounter that song naturally. But I do need her to know that Five for Fighting, a band that, don't worry about them, they're not relevant to you in any way. But they had a song about Superman in like the early 2000s that is pretty bad.
You know, she might hear it like at the dentist or something, would be my guess.
That's it.
Like some place where they're playing old crap.
Grocery store. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, yeah, that song's about Superman. Who's Superman? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's like me growing up and like my dad telling me about Shane or something.
Yeah,
like,
right. Like, has anyone seen Shane, or has everyone's dads just told them about Shane? Does that just live in the collective memory of all of our dads?
I mean, that's the analog for comic book stuff is the Western, right?
Where... Extremely, yes. Extremely, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Clark and Zod fight. Zod picks up Clark and flies out the window with him. They land in a field in battle. Zod gains the upper hand and commands Clark to kneel before him. Kneel before Zod. Get it? That's from the movie. That's the thing. Does that count as a Nietzsche line, or is that just a reference?
That's just a reference. Yeah.
So he tells him if they join
a Nietzsche
forces,
line would be if he first saw Zod and was like, "Oh man, definitely never going to kneel before that guy."
Correct. Correct. It's been a while since we've had Nietzsche lines, so it's been a couple of months. But yes, I think it's good that we. Yes. So he tells him if they join forces, he will spare the human lives that Clark cares the most about. If that was utilized more, I do think that's an interesting dilemma for Superman, right? Especially a young Superman. I think that would be the most, like, I could rationalize in a story that being like, you're gonna lose. I could save the people you care about.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not utilized in an interesting way here. It's just a line of dialogue that Clark's like, no, I'm going to punch you good.
Clark's response was never in question. Right. There's
right,
no.
Right. Right. Right.
Maybe I will.
Right. So Clark appears to accept his offer and takes Zod's hand. However, in his hand is Jor-El's emblem. Zod is sucked out of Lex's body and into the emblem. Thank God that's how that works, I guess.
Yeah, right, yeah.
While Lex falls unconscious.
If you kill my friends and family, I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to get red kryptonite, and I'm going to get on a motorcycle, and I'm going to drive to Metropolis and be so mad.
That's what I do to my dad figures, and I think maybe you're relating your kind of dad figure.
I thought maybe I just tuned it out. They never explained that this trinket thing was going to do that beforehand, did they?
No, they did not.
What is that supposed to be that's happening?
A transference.
It's sending him to the Phantom Zone, or it's just going into that little trinket?
I don't fucking know.
Do you think the writers knew
fucking idea
when they wrote it?
No. They don't fucking know episode to episode what the fuck is happening on this show. We're well past that.
I did appreciate that the spirit of Zod looks like Terrence Stamp, right? When it's
I did clock that. That was a fun, like, yeah. Clark goes to the hospital to check on Lois, who remembers being in the fortress, but she thinks it was heaven. She's like, I think I died and I went to heaven.
I so love Lois this
believes
scene.
In the Christian God.
I love this scene because she's like, oh, I woke up in this beautiful, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, this bright place. And Clark's immediate instinct is like, I got to gaslight. Gaslight. What do you mean? No, you're probably just hallucinating.
What? Yeah. Nothing happened.
And she's like, I think I was in heaven. What are you doing? Like, why are you... Why are you like that? And he's like, oh no, no, heaven. Yeah, totally heaven. I don't need to gaslight you.
I don't have to be wise this time. You just
But right away he's like, no, what? Because she doesn't even say anything.
You crazy bitch. You didn't see an ice castle.
She doesn't say anything that would implicate him. She's like, I saw brightness and it felt good. He's like, you're fucking crazy. You're fucking crazy. You're insane. Don't ever say that shit again. You woke up and it felt good. You fucking psycho.
Fucking psycho.
That's insane. I can't even believe you said that. Oh no, it's probably heaven. Yeah, you're right. No, that makes
sense. Can't wait for full ass Superman to get canceled, for like a bunch of old girlfriends to be like, I don't know, he gaslit me a lot, actually. He lied to me a lot.
Yeah,
that's Lex why he come out the secret like, identity.
I ended up in a mental institution and got my memories shocked out of me because of it.
I think that's worse than the movie Gaslight.
Way worse. I wish we had this whole time been compiling a supercut of Clark gaslighting for YouTube.
Next time around. Next time
it would
around.
Be like a 3-hour supercut, though. It would
Okay, so they share an awkward but tender moment. Lex encounters Lana in the hospital as well, and she is understandably skittish towards him, showing him the hand he stabbed.
It might have something to do with the hole in my hand.
Yep, dude.
The giant hole.
The Jesus fucking Christ hole in my hand. Okay. Lex tells her he doesn't remember anything, but seems sincerely guilty over having caused such destruction. Lana decides to forgive him because he wasn't himself.
Yes. Oh, I got to get my little chart. Hold on.
We're on the board, baby. We're back. It's been a while since Zach had to go get his little chart. We're back, baby. We're back.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one. Not yourself. First Man. Of the season.
I was in a sour mood. I was like, "We're this is no fun. I can't believe of course we're having fun."
Yeah, talking about it is more fun than watching it.
All right, so Clark goes to the planet to check on Chloe, who was extremely worried about him and is relieved to see him. When she runs into his arms, he tries to bring up when she kissed him. Sure would be a shame if we kissed again. Hey, don't you go trying to kiss me again.
I was going to say, he plays it like disappointed when she's like, oh, it was just a kiss. Don't worry about
that's
it.
That's the text.
Yeah, okay.
That's the text.
Yeah.
She blows
Clark,
it
who
off.
Has shown no desire to get with Chloe since season one.
But like some classic ass bad dude stuff, like the second she's like, I don't know, actually I'm kind of into this guy. No.
Right, yeah.
I've spent 3 fucking seasons being like, Lana, to you.
Yeah, right.
Second, you're going interested in another dude. No. I'm the main character of this show.
Do you think Chloe's like, I was into it, but then I remembered you can't bone because you're worried about splitting people in half with your super semen.
We don't know what the bone shit is, what the deal with your boning is, and
you for some reason refuse to do anything else that would make a woman happy. You don't go down
right,
on
the,
them
the
or whatever.
Countless other things other than penis and vagina sex that can be a good time, a plenty of good time.
previously on Smallville.
How do Clark non-hetero Kent couples do it?
That is an insane plot hole in this show, is that their relationship deteriorated because Clark would not go down on her. That's basically
nah, tongue's still too powerful. Still too powerful. Can't tell. I might get too into it.
Like, that never even came up as a suggestion.
Never even came up.
Chloe was never like, hey, Clark, you know, there's other shit you can do.
There's like lots of other shit you can do.
Here's a book. I mean, the internet was still young, but there were answers on the internet for that kind of stuff. If you wanted to look it up.
Right. Clark, there's so much money.
He's so Boy Scouty, he can't. He's like, I can't even look it up. No.
Okay. So Chloe blows it off like the world was ending. That's why we smooched. This is confirmed when she introduces him to Jimmy. It's obvious that Chloe and Jimmy share something, and Clark looks surprised and a little hurt because there was a little pause in the fucking Clark show for two seconds.
Yeah. So she could get with this Jimmy, the real Jimmy, the real Jimmy Olsen.
The definitely real Jimmy. What the fuck are you talking about? Zach, the position I'm currently in is, who else could it be? Where's the real Jimmy? Is there going to be just another guy who's like, I'm the real Jimmy Olsen, and everyone's going to go, oh!
What does that mean? He's the real Jimmy. It's Jimmy. Jimmy Olsen. Yep. Definitely 100%.
Fucking hell.
Much like Principal Skinner was the real Principal Skinner in Simpsons.
Okay. All right. I can work around this now. Vietnam is involved in some capacity. So back at home, Martha tells Clark that Lionel claims that his connection to Jor-El is gone. Clark tells Martha that he went to the fortress to talk to Jor-El, bringing along the emblem, but Jor-El didn't answer. It was like the fortress was dead. He confides in his mother that he doesn't know what to do now. Everything has changed. His father is dead. Jor-El is gone. Lex has become his enemy, and Lana won't speak to him. Here are all the pieces laid out for you guys.
I was like, yeah, everything's changed, except for this is where we were at the end of last season.
Yep. Everything's changed except anything. She tries to comfort him, but he just looks lost and alone. Meanwhile, Lionel is at his office writing Kryptonian symbols. He is astonished at what he does and writes power underneath it. Lex returns to the mansion and opens up his laptop to find a part of the object Zod has taken from the ship, half destroyed. In Argentina, a phantom rises from the water and speeds away. I remember seeing that for the first time. I think I watched it on YouTube, which was not a reliable way to keep up with it at the time.
Like Daily Motion or one of those other.
Honestly, you're probably right. It was probably one of those. God, you're probably right. but YouTube was probably in its infancy.
Yes. Yep.
So, and I remember that being like, a bunch of like stuff escaped from the Phantom Zone. That's a good like freak of the week element for the show. Yes. I don't really think they make good on that.
They do a little bit. Oh, I'm just remembering. They have a wrestler on as one of them at some point.
Yes, I knew that. I knew that. And I'll have a whole corner about them.
Yeah, I say, we'll be ready to go.
Who is it? I might not know who they are. I have my gaps in my knowledge.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm very current, and I know a lot about the 80s now. But I'm working my way.
I remember there being a few Phantom Freak of the Week type episodes.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. There was talk of including Brainiac in this episode, but James Marsters was unavailable. Doing what?
It was a angel convention.
Yeah, right. There was a angel probably just ended, I think, 2006. Yeah, just I believe Angel ended 2005. And then there was the Dragon Ball movie where he plays Piccolo. I don't know if you were a Dragon Ball guy. I don't think you were.
I wasn't, but I remember when that came out on DVD.
Bad. I saw it in theaters, Zach.
I was working at Blockbuster at the time.
Got it. Bad. And it, honestly, that movie made me mostly mad because of, like, not that I thought Dragon Ball Z could have should have been like a good movie, but like if you just took this and made a like martial arts superhero movie, there's something fun there,
right?
It's not here. It's not here. So we know about Sean and Eric Ashmore. I'm just looking through the notes, the fun facts here. Let's see here. First, we got a new opening credit scene. We get some new footage here from season 5 and season 6. First set of credits without John Schneider.
Sad.
First season premiere that does not feature Jonathan Kent. Let's see here. The ending scene with the released Phantom is subtitled Iguazu Falls, Patagonia, Argentina. However, Iguazu Falls are located in the border between Argentina and Brazil, a few thousand kilometers away from Patagonia.
Not in the Smallville world. Not in
Smallville world.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Here's Metropolis.
Yeah, huh? We don't. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know what?
Because yeah, they added Metropolis into Candace, and that pushed all the geography over a few thousand miles. So
that's it. That's exactly it. This is the only time Martha speaks to Jor-El. This is the first time Jor-El has ever expressed approval of Clark's upbringing with the Kents. Let's see here. That's it. That's about it. I guess there's a thing here about how Lana has learned about kryptonite, but doesn't think to use it here. The scenes of the satellites in space can also be seen in the film Batman and Robin, which means they're from Batman.
Right.
Robin.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I love funny. How much they just reuse stuff in
which
this.
Makes I'm... sense. It's like, do you just have like satellite footage? Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah,
why not?
Yeah,
it'd look better than anything they could do. This is the only the fact the last two previous episodes both ended with a to be continued credit means that season 5, the penultimate season 5 finale, and this one is the only 3-part episode of the entire show. Technically.
Ah, interesting. Well, that's sure fine.
I think even the wiki is like, this is a technicality.
Yeah.
I think that's everything. I no needle drops this episode. That was a bummer.
I mean, I think we're getting fewer and fewer, though. We're almost past the age of the needle drop here on Smallville.
Man, what a bummer. That's one of my favorite elements of the show. And it's what our show is named after, Zach.
I know.
We have not done a formal Talon McSmoney 2.
Oh, yeah, we got to do that.
So we have to do that. Also, in the notes, in the general things business here, we still owe Draz a Wheat Boy shirt.
So oh we my have to gosh. Design
that. Maybe okay. We'll do a video designing that. Right? We'll get together. We'll make a video where we design it. And here's the thing. It's going to be bad. Because no one stepped up. So no. You're going to, Draz, you're going to get a mouse drawing of Wheat Boy in some MS Paint-esque amalgamation. We'll figure it out. Okay. So, Zach, anything else we want to go over before we get into the get out of here zone?
No, just everyone give us a thumbs up or like or a high five or whatever the fuck the program you're watching this on does.
You got good exactly review. That. Whatever the on your platform of choice, whatever the indication is that you enjoyed this.
Yes, pick that one.
Pick that one, please. Also, if you want to go the extra mile, a comment on YouTube, a review on iTunes. It truly goes a long way. If algorithmically, sure. Also, just like, I don't know, makes us feel like we're not doing it for nobody.
Yes, it's nice when the vacuum says something.
Speaks
the
back.
Void. The void.
When the void looks back. So I want to throw on that note. Traditionally, we end the show with Zach asking questions to the Smallville gods. If you have a question for the Smallville gods, throw it in the comments on any video, on any episode in our YouTube. I'll imagine it. I'll pick the best ones. And we can ask those to the Smallville gods. I bet the answer is going to be, yeah, but hey, it's fine.
You never know. One of these days.
You never know.
He might go, no.
You never know. So, Zach, with that in mind, do you have a question for the Smallville gods?
I do. I want to know. Smallville gods, be honest. Did you miss us?
Yeah!